This is Pearls and Swine on Good News You Can Use. I'm Levi, with me is Travis and Lisa, and today we're going to be talking about this weird idea called the Berean Spirit. And this is really searching the scriptures, understanding the scriptures, and trying to figure out, like, what is it actually saying? How do I actually live by this? And there is a diligence in this. There's a discernment in this. There's eagerness in this of studying the scriptures. It's not just coming to church and hearing the pastor do it, which I'm sure there are many good sermons out there that you can listen to, and those are really good things to do. But it's going, okay, well, what does the scripture actually say? It empowers the people to really look at the scripture. And you do this, and this is best done within community. There is a portion of the scripture, it's in Acts, which means the Acts of the Apostles, what they did, how the church came about, how God empowered them to create the church. But there's this little place called Berea, and it's found in Acts chapter 17. Lisa, do you want to read that portion of scripture?
Sure. The brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went to the Jewish synagogue. Now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Many of them therefore believed, with not a few Greek women of high standing as well as men. But when the Jews from Thessalonica learned that the word of God was proclaimed by Paul at Berea, also they came there too, agitating and stirring up the crowds. Then the brothers immediately sent Paul on his way to the sea, but Silas and Timothy remained there. Those who conducted Paul brought him as far as Athens.
So what you see in this text is Paul goes into the synagogue, which is normal, and this is how his kind of church planting model. He would go into the synagogue and he would begin to teach and speak to our cousins who are Jewish. And he would begin to speak to them and go, here's what the scriptures say. This is what's going on. This is who Jesus is. This is what Jesus did. He died on a cross. He rose again 3 days later, and he is the Christ. He is the anointed one. He is the Messiah that you've been waiting for. And he would proclaim this in the Jewish synagogues first. And it says in this text that the Bereans were like, well, I'm going to see if this is actually true. And what they did is they had a high value on scripture, and they said, okay, well, this is inspired by God. I know this is truth. This is the foundation of our faith. Well, let me see if what he is saying is actually true. And they began to diligently study to see if what Paul was communicating was true. So that's the context of this passage. And so one of the things that I think is really fascinating about this is their pursuit of truth. And so what in our culture, I think this is interesting, that we will say that we like truth or we embrace truth. But truth is something that is usually connected to my opinion or my feelings. And if it doesn't fit my opinion or my feelings, then even if you're speaking truth to me, I would say to you, well, that is your truth. That's what's interesting about this passage. The Bereans go, okay, well, maybe he's telling the truth. Let me see what it says. But they had something that was the bedrock, the foundation, and that was scripture.
Yeah, I was thinking when you said the opinions and truth and we pursue truth, I wanted to say something like, well, that's an interesting way to talk about someone's opinions. But then I was reminded of the way that people say, well, this is my truth and this is your truth. And that seems like a shifting target of what is true to begin with.
Yeah, everybody has their different measuring stick for truth, their thing to compare what we think or what we hear against. And when we hear that phrase, my truth and your truth, bothers me, I'll admit that. Because what's true for me may not be true for you. It might be true for you, but it may not be true at all. You know what I mean?
Yep. Well, I think that's part of the misconception of Christianity. I don't believe in Christianity because I haven't reasoned it out. I believe in it because it's a reasoned truth, and God has given us the ability to reason. So other people have the ability to reason also. But let's have a discussion about it. Let's talk about this. And that's what the Bereans, I think, is so fascinating. This isn't an apologetics. This is a pursuit of, which is a little bit different than I'm just giving you an answer to the question that my pastor said or this person said. And that's one way to learn. That's one way that God gives us. He gives us pastors and preachers to proclaim the word of God. But it's also like, how are we digging in on this? If we have a question on this, how do we dig in? And then how do we, it's a collective effort on their part. If you look at the text, it's not one dude sitting there going, hey, this is what's happening. It is, let's reason together. Let's come together in this. Let's think about this in light of this foundational thing. So if you say you were a Christian, first thing that you believe is that Jesus Christ died on the cross and that you are a sinner in need of a savior. That is basic definition of Christianity. And he rose from the dead. Yeah, very important. Very important. The second thing is that you believe in the scriptures. Because how do we know this? You don't know this outside of the what we call special revelation. That God loves you, he cares about you, that he wants to have a relationship with you. You know that through the scriptures. And so, well, how does this all work? And some would say, well, they didn't read. A lot of people were illiterate in their time. Some of them were very educated, but there were people that didn't. So they had an oral tradition. And that is true. They did have an oral tradition. That is one of the ways that they communicated. They communicated through stories and through recounting of history. We do the same thing now. We're a little bit less of an oral culture, but they wrote this down so that we could have this, so that we could have this foundational faith. And so when we look at this, I love that there was a commitment to truth. It didn't matter if, like, they were worshiping in the Jewish synagogue. This went against what they actually held to. It went against what they were being taught probably in that moment. And they said, okay, what is the truth here? As I reason through this, is what Paul's saying true? And I like that.
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, we didn't read the next section, but the philosophers in Athens provide a different relationship to truth that I think is more like, less like the Bereans and more like our current culture with my truth and your truth and everyone's truth. In the next section, Paul arrives in Athens. And he goes to the synagogue and does the same thing. And the philosophers who are there in the marketplace, they say things like, bring us this new truth. Let us understand this new thing that you're saying. And what's really interesting about the Bereans is that they seem to understand that the truth that Paul is proclaiming isn't necessarily a new truth. It's grounded in something quite ancient. And that's why they go back to the scriptures, which were ancient. And in some ways, We have the same calling as well. The truth that we have is ancient and foundational, and they seem to understand that.
I also like that it if we practice the Berean spirit, it encourages us to actively participate in the work of God. We get to understand the revelation of God. I don't think we should be doing this all on our own. I don't think you're a lone soldier being a church of one, because that's not a church. Church means ecclesia, which means gathering. And so you got to have some other people there. But how do you do this? How do you look at the text? How do you understand this? The reality is I've been wrong before on things. Go figure, right? And you laugh about that. Because you don't see it very often, right?
That was well played.
We all get things wrong. And there are heresies. There are things that we come up with. There are things that there is a real devil who's trying to disrupt our understanding of the goodness of God in our lives. And so one of God's protections, one of God's beautiful things that he created is this active participation together in the midst of this.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they did it together, and it looks like, right, like we call them life groups here at Evangel. We do this in community. I mean, first from the pulpit on Sunday, but then we get to engage with one another. But also, I think at an individual level, if you have friends who also have said yes to Jesus, and they aren't helping you better understand scripture and yourself in light of it, and that works both ways, right? There's a reciprocity there. I think you maybe should find new friends. I think that the role of a friend is to help you be to learn who you are in light of God's word, so that you can be maybe the best version of yourself or the best version of what He's made you to be.
One of the things, like with having kids, one of the things that I want them to understand is discernment. Like, what is a good choice? What is not a good choice? And why is that not a good choice? Because just giving them rules is actually, you know, they're kids and they're come from me, which means, hey, I want to break the rules if they're just rules. I don't really want to do those things. But if the reason why is behind that, and it's based in a reasoned truth, then it's much more palatable to follow that thing. It's much more palatable to go, this is my worldview. This is how I see this. And I believe that is one of the beautiful things about the Bereans, is they cultivated a culture of discernment. And they were discerning, like, okay, this new philosopher, maybe he's coming in from over here. Well, is this true, what he's saying? It may tickle our ears. It may sound right. But our hearts, the Bible says, they're deceitful. They want to go away in a different direction from God. And God's word brings us back as it helps us to discern the world around us.
And I like how you outlined that, as it's more palatable when you get kind of the discernment and the understanding behind it. Because, yeah, with kids, you tell them to do something, what's the first thing they say? Why? Well, that's in all of our hearts. We want to know why we have to do certain things. And as you grow up and mature, like, we understand that a little bit more. But the Bereans use the scripture as kind of their benchmark. That's the standard that they check everything by. And Paul talks about that in his letter to the Thessalonians too. In the first one, I think it's chapter 5, where he says they're talking about spirits here. So the philosopher that comes in and tickles their ears, like, you got to test everything and find what is good, pull out what is good. What are those things from God that are advantageous to living, that are meeting up to God's benchmark, His word? And then they're going off of those things and using those in, like, the more life application type of way.
Yeah, I think earlier in that passage in Acts 17, verse 3, it says, explaining and demonstrating that, and this is what Paul was doing, that Christ had to rise again from the dead, and saying that Jesus, whom I preach to you, is the Christ. And so that's what they were trying to unpack. Like, why did Christ have to suffer? Well, Christ had to suffer because the scripture said that he was going to suffer in Isaiah. And I'm sure they're strumming through Isaiah. Wait a second, Isaiah 53. Yeah, that he's right. It says that he's going to suffer. You know, and this is just my imagination. It doesn't tell us how they were doing this, but this was in the scripture. And then Christ had to rise from the dead, you know, and that's in the Old Testament prophecies. And then that there is this anointed one, and there is this Christ, there is this Messiah, and that he had to do these things. Well, why did he have to do these things? He had to do these things because he was the Lamb of God, and God had to take our punishment. And it's all through the Old Testament, and then is completed in the New Testament. And so I think those are the things that they're reasoning about, that they're trying to go, well, is this really true? We've been waiting for this Messiah. Well, he's not exactly what we thought he was going to be, but is this really maybe in God's plan, that it's a little bit different than what we thought? And it's not just our feelings or our opinions about this, but there is solid reason why this is true, what Paul is actually saying.
Yeah, I wonder though, like, so this, it's one thing to be presented with something entirely new, and then to think it over, go back to the source text, right, the big book, and assess its truth. But what does it look like for someone? I'm just thinking people might be wondering, like, after you believe those things, what does it mean? What would it look like for someone to embrace a Berean spirit when they've already accepted those foundational first principles?
So I think that to embrace that is there are opinions that I have that need to be checked in scripture. And I will tell you, like, zipping through the internet, you can find any answer to anything that, and you can find things that will fit your fancy, if you shall. And they will say, this is biblical and this is holy, this is good. And yet, if you really study it and really start to dig down and go, what does this word actually mean? What was he trying to communicate in this? Why is it this way? What does the Bible actually say? I think that is, it's more of the studying of rather than just the quippy little answers that we love so much. And, you know, the verse that makes us feel good for the day, the verse of the day type thing, which are good. I'm not saying those are bad, but really starting to understand the theological underpinnings of what's going on within the text and why is it being communicated in that way? And really starting to go, okay, well, why is it that we hold to this? What is it that we're trying to get to in the midst of this? And so it's more of a studying of and really committing ourselves to the text.
I liken it to the example used about talking with your kids. Like, we ask them to do something, they say why, and our easy answer is because I said so. But actually taking the time to step back and help them understand, like, okay, why do you think I would tell you it's not good to chase your ball out in the middle of the road when it rolls out there? Well, there's cars that come by. There's, you know, all these things that could be dangerous. And it starts to develop in a little kid, their mind to, like, think a little bit further than just the why and have it spoon-fed to them instead of starting to think about it and, like, oh, there's things around that I'm focused on this one thing. Might sound good, might sound not good, but where do I go to test it? What's that point of reference that I'm using to figure out, is this good? Is it not good? Some critical thinking skills, I would guess, to say. Yeah. That's what I'm trying to say.
What would you say is, like, the place to start for people who might wonder to themselves, gee, am I embracing a Berean spirit? Or maybe I know that I don't. What would you say would be the place to start?
So I think that if you're going to start with this, I think there has to be a tension. There was a tension for these people. Like, Paul was saying something that was opposite of what they kind of understood. And so there's a lot of opinions in the world right now. So what is the tension that you have in your heart? What is the thing that you're going, hey, I'm not so sure about this, or I want to know what the scripture actually says about this? I think that's the first place that you start. Then after that is, what does the larger narrative of scripture say? And so, yeah, you can get some obscure passage and twist and turn it, but there are probably 20 other very clear passages that say something different than maybe that the one that the person is twisting on this. And so I think it starts with attention. Like, is this actually true, what they are saying? Or what is being communicated, or what our culture is embracing. And so it always starts with attention, and then it pushes back in.
Yeah, I was going to say what everybody else is doing and what's the popular thing. Check your heart on that and then go back to scripture and see, well, what does that actually speak into about this?
Well, I think that's a scary place to be for some people. I mean, it's a whole lot easier to accept the larger cultural narrative than to go back to scripture to find what the truth of scripture is suggesting about that issue in some cases anyways.
Yeah, and I think that circles back to the point that you made, Lisa, about having those good friends that want to sharpen you like iron and walk with you in those things to help you be, you know, the best version of yourself. And when I say that, I mean, like, who God created you to be, a child of God, to know his word, to know his love, to follow Jesus.
So the other thing that I would say in the midst of that is, like, once you have that tension, once you've done some preliminary searching, I think, on your own, I think that's when you go to friends. Sometimes though, peers are peers and they're just as big as a knucklehead as you are. Right. And so I think the other thing that you can do is somebody that you respect, go to them and ask some questions. And then write down some of what they're saying. I don't think you have to take it for, like, these people didn't take what Paul was saying. They went back and said, okay, well, how does this fit into the scripture? And then go back. Well, how, like, people will say things about the scripture. I think the question becomes is, how are you getting there? Like, help me to understand. It's those types of questions that I think really push us in the direction of truth. And so, like, if they can't explain how they're getting there and they're going, well, I think the Bible just says this, and they're giving some proof text that's off of that, but what does the Bible say about that is the next question. Like, what do you believe the Bible actually says about that? And I think you really start to dive down into that. And when you're doing that, I think that there's something that is really powerful in the midst of that. There's something powerful in the midst of fostering a culture in your mind of learning and inquiring that the Bible talks about. It says to renew our minds. And this idea of renewing our minds is found in the foundation of the scripture. So it starts with having a relationship with Jesus, which is, you know, the basis of all Christianity is that Jesus died, Jesus rose again, that you are a sinner in need of a savior, and that savior is Jesus. And anything outside of that, it begins to flow out of that, and we begin to understand. So that is, I think, the first thing that is a foundational truth, and we hold to that, and then we kind of start to inquire after that. But if you don't have that one down, that's your first question. Because it answers some basic philosophical questions within the scripture, like what is the issue with evil, those types of things, like how did it get here, what does this look like, and then how do we play a part in this? All of those things are answered within the text of the scripture. And so I think you begin there, and then you go from there. Any other thoughts?
I guess I do. I think there is a, I don't know, I guess in my own experience, as I'm, the more I spend in God's word, not necessarily asking questions, but simply letting scripture wash over me, and one, it brings the questions that I have to the fore so that I can think about them differently, but it also orients my mind to the big story. So I think there's something to be said for daily Bible reading in this conversation.
That's good. Yeah. The reality of God's word speaking into your life. And it's crazy to me, like, and I've been guilty of this, of like not realizing, like, this is reality. This is how he is trying to communicate how this world works, how he is involved in it, and how he wants us to be involved in it. And when you start to read the scripture, it starts to shape how you think and how you will move. And so I agree with you, like starting with, you know, where would you start, Lisa, if you were new to the Bible?
Where would I start? I might start in, I would probably start in Genesis. And then I would probably go to maybe
a little Mark or Matthew.
Mark, Matthew, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I always like to throw in a little Romans after
that. Okay, okay.
Yeah, that one's a little more tricky, but you really get a clear picture of who you are and your standing and what God has done for you. So those are my, that would be probably my three. What about you, Travis?
I would do the same thing. I like to throw in a little bit of Acts, though, too, because I like just how the church started. And these types of conversations of, like, how did that message spread to people that were well-versed in Jewish culture and Jewish tradition and theology, and how Paul kind of opened up their eyes to the gospel and it shifted their thinking.
Yeah, well, that's good. Well, that is good news you can use, and we just hope that this kind of helps in your pursuit of truth and pursuit of that Berean spirit, that we would have that foundational truth of the Word of God hidden in our hearts, but also that we're studying on a daily basis, that we would know who God is and that we would know how much He loves us and the goodness of who He is as we pursue Him through the study of his word.
Thanks for tuning in with us this week. If you've got questions or comments or topic ideas, we'd love to hear from you. You can email those to travis@evangelup.org. If you want to catch up on any of the previous Pearls and Swine episodes on Good News You Can Use, just search Evangel Houghton on your preferred podcast platform or go to our website, evangelup.org.